All right, today we're concluding our four-part series on the different roles that Jesus had in his earthly ministry. We've talked about Jesus as a teacher, and we think about it, Jesus' teachings have been passed along to billions and billions of people. What good would the teaching do, though, without healing? We talked about Jesus as a healer, physically and spiritually healing people. But what good would healing do without an eternal life spent with him? So we talked about Jesus as a sacrifice. Today we're going to talk about Jesus as a Savior. In the Bible, a Savior is a redeemer of sin and saver of souls. Everything was leading to this point. Jesus is mentioned, depending on the biblical scholar that you look at, 300 to 400 times in the Old Testament. Everything, the teaching, the healing, the sacrifice, all the mentions from Genesis all the way to Malachi led to this point. Jesus is a Savior. Destined to be the Savior of all of us, Jew and non-Jew. All of his earthly life led to that cross. The cross led to his death and resurrection. Resurrection, his redemption, is our redemption. Without Jesus, we have no way to go to heaven. He makes it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There are a lot of people that think that you can get to heaven without Jesus. No. No. You cannot. It can be overwhelming, though, for us to think at times that Jesus loves each of us. When I think of Jesus and God, I think of this humongous, just a size that just blows my mind. And to think that he cares about each person and their redemption is amazing. Even if we've fallen away from him. In this scripture we're going to look at, we're going to see an example of the power of Jesus as a personal Savior. And we're going to start in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. And Jesus has already been resurrected at this point. He's appeared to the disciples two other times. Peter and several of the disciples, they still hadn't really directly seen him. So he said, I'm going fishing. And several of them followed him. That's what they had done. That's what they knew. And they're on the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is another name for the Sea of Galilee. Freshwater lake in Israel. And this was Peter and Thomas and John and James, and two disciples weren't named. Couldn't imagine how they were feeling. These were men that had dedicated 3 years of their lives to Jesus, especially Peter. Peter, a few days before that, had told Jesus, I will die for you. I will kill for you. And Jesus told him, no. You're not. Peter's been criticized by some biblical scholars for returning to his old job so soon after Jesus died. I don't agree. He had to make a living. Also, if you think about what he was dealing with on the inside, he fell asleep when Jesus asked him to stand watch in the Garden of Gethsemane. He abandoned his mentor, his Lord, and he ran. He not only abandoned him, he denied him. Luke 22:61-62, and the Lord looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the words that the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you'll deny me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Thinking about Peter and his failures made me think about all the times I failed the Lord or people that I loved. Someone really important in my life. Not in the same ways, but it was real personal. And I knew it hurt him. It hurt me. I started off with good intentions, but I just couldn't make it. Didn't have the gas for it. Couldn't see it through. How many times have we been like that? I'll throw my hand up. I have been. I have been. I've started off with good intentions, and when the going got tough, I went another direction. I think most of us, we're honest, we have been. Peter is dealing with that now, the rest of these disciples. And I know with my own situations, when I would felt like I had abandoned someone, I would do what I knew. That a lot of times that would be work. I would bury myself in my work or my hobbies because it was all I knew. It was the only way I knew how to deal with it. And I think that's what these men did. But I think one thing that's real amazing about this, Peter still has a spiritual gift of leadership. He said, I'm going fishing. The other six guys just followed him naturally. He still has that spiritual gift in there. Now, fishing in the first century in Palestine, they did a lot of it at night. They'd have a lantern, and then a lantern or some type of lamp. That's how they attracted the fish. And Jesus appeared to them on the beach. But they didn't know who he was. First couple of times Jesus appeared to people, he almost like he disguised himself. Then he would give people the ability to see him and recognize him. And so he called out to them, are you having any luck fishing? And they told him no. And he told them, cast on the right side of the right-hand side of the boat, you'll find the catch. Couldn't even haul it all up. They did what he said, couldn't haul it all up. And Jesus told his disciples, Mark 14:27, you'll all fall away. Because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. That was written in, I think it was Isaiah. 600 years before the birth of Jesus. All of them ran away when Jesus was arrested. Only John showed up at the crucifixion. That was taking care of Mary. Jesus could have easily written them off. Could have wrote me off. Easily. Wasn't worth saving. That's not Jesus. He doesn't come into our lives because he needs us. He comes into our lives because he knows we need him. Even when we failed him, even when we turned our back on him, Jesus is there calling out to us. Most of these men have fished all their lives. They made their living by fishing. Not a single fish. They fished from the time they were small boys. They knew every trick. I mean, how many of these old fellows that you know have been fishing all their life, they got so many little tricks, I'll never learn it. These men made their living from this. All night, not one single fish. And Jesus comes along. They were exhausted. Worn out from the battles going on inside of them, and the persecution they were facing from the Jewish leaders. Because the Jewish leaders hadn't given up during this time. They were determined to wipe out the rest of Jesus' disciples. Matter of fact, only one out of the 12 died a natural death. That was John. And they tried to boil him in oil, but somehow he survived. He's the only one that died of natural causes. Jesus is there. Poof. Ask them to bring it to cast after nets one more time. They listened. All the night's failures went away. One casting of the net. John was the first one to recognize Jesus. The disciple who Jesus loved, that's a name that's been given to John in different parts of the Gospels. Bible doesn't say if he recognized him by having good vision or good insight. Told Peter, I can't imagine what Peter felt. This man that he had failed, this man that he had abandoned, this man that he had denied. His Lord, the person that changed his life, the person he thought was dead, is there. He's been given another opportunity. And then Peter pulls a Forrest Gump. Do you remember when how many people seen Forrest Gump? When Lieutenant Dan came there to the shore and he dived off, Peter. Thankfully, there was someone else to bring the boat in. But he pulled a Forrest Gump. I probably would have to. I would have to. His soul, more than others, craved forgiveness. Have you ever been there? I have, where you've just craved forgiveness. You didn't even know really for what, but you knew you needed it. This is Peter right now. I wonder if he thought it was possible after all he'd done. Ever felt like that? I'm so far out. There's no redemption for me. How many of us have been in that position in our lives that we thought we betrayed God's love with our actions, our behavior, that we're too far from God? I've been there. I denied God. When I realized he was there, I was angry at him. Angry. Capital letters. And he turned the heat. I wasn't too far out for him. Some of the most effective people in ministry I've seen, they have a background that would make the hair on your back of your neck stand up. I have seen some bikers that have come to Christ that, oh my gosh, they speak just beautifully. And I have seen some people that have come right out of prison and they have the heart of Jesus. On the other side of it, I've seen some people in three-piece suits that, really? You're coming out of a church? But this is Peter. Peter is at this point that he thinks he is too far away. Those men, those bikers, those people out of prison, those people that you may have met at work, that they have that relationship. You can tell it. They glow like a lamp. They're not too far. When they got to land, there was already a fire going, fish on there, and bread. And Jesus said, bring some of the fish you've caught. They caught 153. Now, we went fishing this past week, and when we caught 2.5, that was 3 of us. I say half because one of them was that big, and it got off the line. That was my contribution to the catch. It literally looked like one of those wind-up fish that you put in the little pool. And so we were dining on chicken Thursday night. Now, there were 2 pieces of fish, and Braden got those. 153. Not a rip, not a tear in that net. Not one single rip. That's physically impossible for man. When Jesus is involved, nothing's impossible though. Nothing. This group of men who had abandoned them, gone. One of them had denied him 3 times. It isn't recorded, but I'm sure Peter wasn't the only disciple who denied following Jesus. And the disciples take a lot of heat for that. Peter took a lot of heat for that. You got someone that's going around arresting and, you know, eventually killing followers of Jesus. Would you deny him? Would I deny him? It is when you're faced with a physical death. So I don't know. I ain't got any rocks for Peter. He done some things I wasn't that crazy about, but in his position, I don't know if I wouldn't have done the same thing. You like to think you wouldn't, but he's human. Did Jesus sink their boat? Did he put jaws in the Sea of Galilee? No, his blessing fed them. For this morning, it'll help them by selling those fish to get enough money to survive. Jesus was already thinking a couple steps ahead. They could sell this. They'll end up selling these fish, and it'll end up helping their overall mission. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. And none of the disciples questioned him. They knew who it was. They knew who it was at this point in time. Jesus took the bread and gave it to them and the fish. And this was the third time Jesus had come to his disciples since he was resurrected. They knew where this miracle came from. They knew this man. Have you known someone or been that someone who tried to say that a miracle in their life was a coincidence? I used to believe in them. I don't anymore. I had too many things in my life that have been there just at that time. It may not have been what I wanted, but come to find out, it was just what I needed to get me from one point to another. Net full of fish, that's not a coincidence. Things in your life right now that are happening, that are going on, that you may get you from point A to point B, it's not a coincidence. Is Jesus reaching out? People try to say that God doesn't have any part of this, that this world's just spinning. And what happens is just coincidence, probability, physics. We're traveling at a phenomenal rate of speed. We have an atmosphere that is perfectly balanced in an environment that is perfectly balanced. We are at a set distance from the largest nuclear reactor in the solar system. We have a moon that if it hit us would destroy this world, but it's all perfectly in balance. Don't tell me God didn't have anything to do with that. Maybe they were afraid. People might be afraid to admit they need Jesus in their lives. Our dreams are no match for God's plans. Again, it may not be what we want, but it is what we need. And a lot of times it's better than anything that we need, that we can hope for. Another thing I think is important, Jesus breaks bread with them. Sharing the bread is very symbolic of the covenant that Jesus established with us. This is what he's saying, I'm here in your life. Come to me. I'm here. You don't have to be alone. Being alone is just an awful feeling. Anyone ever felt like they're separated from everyone and separated from God? I have. It is the most despair. One of the most despairing situations you can possibly have. To be separated. To feel alone. Even in a room full of people. And no one knows. No one knows what's going on in your lives. I know there was a time in my life. Some of you know I'm a nurse. And no, we don't play cards a lot. And we had there were times I had to take care of people when my life was falling apart. Haven't we all? In one way or another. All of us have a job. By all of us work, or we did work, and our lives would be falling apart, but you still have to answer the phone with a smile. You still have to do what you do with a smile. Whether we're hurting, whether our lives are falling apart. And so we can put on a happy face, but inside we're just dying. Because we think we're alone, but we're not. God's there. Jesus is there. Most of us have had disciple moments like this. He loves us in spite of our failures. He knows we're not perfect. He knows our thoughts. He wants to share his spiritual bread with us if our pride will allow it. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you're alone and you really get to thinking about it and you're alone more because you want to be, more because of you being prideful than a situation where you can't fix it? Is more that you won't fix it? I have. Jesus then does something. He talks to Peter. Peter's other name is Simon. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, your Lord, you know that I love you. Then he said to him, tend my lambs. Verse 16, he repeats it. And he says, shepherd my sheep. Verse 17, he asks him three times. And Peter replies three times, yes, Lord, you know I love you more. He's getting a little aggravated at this point. Three times. How many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. Jesus was preparing Peter to be the shepherd of this small group of believers. This man whose life was in shambles. He'd sinned directly against one of the faces of God through his denial. This man, who probably thought he was too far gone for forgiveness, his experiences, his struggles, they were being used to refine him, to make him better. How many of us have learned through our struggles and mistakes? I have. Has it made us a better person? The struggles, the mistakes, the scars. Could Peter have been the leader that he would become without those? The talent was there. Peter has an ability as a leader, a spiritual gift from God. Our struggles develop us. They aren't fun, but they can be used by God if we allow it. Some people can use their struggles as a crutch, as a shield. You don't know what I've been through. I just went and talked to a lady who's got stage 4 cancer that says she loved Jesus and God's got it. Don't tell me what you've been through. There are people that are walking around right now that have lost family members. There are people that have battled and are battling illnesses. There are people that are battling pain that we will never know how deep and horrible that physical and spiritual pain is, but yet they go on. Get to thinking, Pastor, you just don't know. You don't know what I've been through. God can't use me. Jacob was a liar. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Moses was cast out. Those names sound familiar? Paul was a murderer. God used them. He used the experiences of all these men to make them better than they ever could have been on their own. He's going to do the same with Peter. He wants to do the same with all of us. Jesus gives Peter a prophecy. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you'll stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go. Now he said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Salvation and redemption are possible to all, but it's not free. Today, we celebrate an empty tomb, but with the realization Jesus' blood was our price. It's our price for salvation. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we mark ourselves, and this world turns against us. You don't believe it? Sri Lanka this morning, 140 Christians killed, multiple church bombings. This morning, 90,000 Christians killed in 2016. 600 million Christians worldwide having to meet in secret because their faith has been outlawed. Christianity is outlawed in almost 60 countries. One of our own U.S. congressmen is wanting to replace "In God We Trust" with "Allah We Trust." That's not fake news. That was something that was actually proposed. Thankfully, it was voted down. This is the world we live in. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Like I said earlier, only one of the disciples died of natural causes. None of these did. They were all beheaded, impaled, crucified. They were executed for their beliefs, taking up their cross. Jesus was telling Peter about his own death. Being girded meant being tied or bound. According to church tradition, Peter got to choose his method of execution. He chose to be crucified. But Peter chose to be crucified inverted, with the cross upside down, because he did not feel he was at the same level as Jesus. Peter went from this defeated person who thought he was too far gone. Through Jesus as his personal Savior, he took this ragtag group, eventually would number 120, the day at Pentecost, transformed into 3,000. Before Peter's execution, Christianity had went all over the Eastern world, even into India. Peter would start a church in Rome itself, the pagan capital of the known world. Today, we call the Bishop of Rome the Pope. Peter was the original Pope. The man who denied and abandoned Jesus. The man who was hopeless and thought he was too far gone. Jesus used his mistakes to make one of the premier leaders in the Christian church. Maybe there's someone out there this morning, out here, that thinks they are too far gone, or somebody they know. They've made so many mistakes, they can't turn their lives around. By themselves, you can't. I can't, you can't. We battle with the flesh. By ourselves, the flesh will win. The sin nature we have. With Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. Easy? No. Possible? Yes. This world will attack you. It'll mock you. It will mock your beliefs. This world isn't our home. Paul says it best in Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. When we turn to Jesus and we turn away from this world, redemption's possible. It's open for all of us. Peter and those disciples humbled themselves and accepted it. And through them, amazing things happened. All of them had different skill sets. Jesus wants to work through all of us. It may not be getting up here and talking a lot of hot air. It may be that one person in your family that you know is, excuse my French, they're just going to bust hell wide open when they go there, when they die. And it may be that you don't need to beat them over the head with the Bible. I think sometimes that's what's wrong with a lot of churches. Show them through how you live. Don't be fake. Show them how you live. And then, when that opening happens, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. He gave them to Moses. He can give them to you. And it may be that y'all never even talk about the Bible, but you may talk about Jesus. And it's scary. It's scary to talk to someone about Jesus. But pray about it. Prayer, the word, and your relationship. If you can help one person come to Christ, you have had a successful life. In America right now, this statistic's a couple years old. It takes 89 to 90 Christians existing to help produce one new Christian. One person can't help everybody, but if everybody could just help that one person, this world would be a better place. And just by how you live, not to beat them over the head, but how you live. Jesus is here for us as a personal Savior. He knows your situation. He knows the situation of the person you're thinking about. All of us have somebody we're thinking about that we're scared that when they die, they're going to go to hell. None of us wants that. I'm going to get everybody to stand. We're going to have the songs going and the altar's going to be open. If something's on your mind, come up here. Pray about it. Pray from your chair. Heavenly Father, we come to you today in a prayer of thanks. Father, thank you for sending Lord Jesus to be a teacher, to be a healer, to be a sacrifice, to be our Savior. Father, He's not a Savior of the masses. He's a personal Savior as well. All of us have felt the tug of Him in our lives. Father, we just ask that You help us hear clearly and understand and help us to seek His will for us. Father, there is so much work out here. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Whether it be in our own family, Father, if You can just be with us, lead us and guide us to help our children, to help our brothers, our sisters, our moms, our dads, our spouses, Father, to just be that person, to be that person for them, Father, and to be Your hands and feet for them. And Father, help us to carry Your word and carry Your light outside of these walls in this world. This world is dark. It is hurting. It is painful. Father, Your sacrifice is for all of us who are saved and who aren't. Father, we just ask that You just help us to work. Help us to be those hands and feet. Help us to carry this outside of these walls, Father, to help other people to see Jesus, to know Jesus, to give up this pain that they're walking around with. Father, we feel unprepared. All of us do. I do. There are times I feel so unprepared. And help us to remember, You don't call the prepared. You prepare the called. We just have to answer it. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen. Altars are open.